Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally knelt, contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul.
I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me,
all of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides.
Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
And I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again. This is Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity who might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. Sincerely appreciate all who tune in, and I certainly appreciate your prayers and ask you to continue to pray for the work, pray for this ministry as it endeavors to go forward, and in its endeavor to do those things that the Lord would have for it to be done, to be conducted, and be found engaged in. We believe very much that we need the help of the Lord to be beneficial to anyone who might tune in. I don't think that it's anything in and of ourselves that makes this a program a benefit or a possible benefit to those who might hear, but we believe under the leadership of the Lord that much can be done. So we pray and ask you to help us pray. Pray for me that I would be found being such that the Lord could use in the work, and pray for the work that it would be such that indeed would be beneficial to those who might tune in and have the opportunity to hear it. We do need to go to the Lord in prayer. Before we pray, though, we might make mention that we've been taking up some thoughts related to what's called articles of faith. And what articles of faith are is just an expression of what they find the Bible to teach. Been taking up in these most recent studies points relating to the way of salvation. What is the way of salvation? What does the Bible teach is the way of salvation? And touching upon points relating to this subject, we've had all five parts now relating to this, and Lord willing, this will be the last concluding point on this subject. It may be that you have missed some of the studies and would like to go back and consider some of the things that's been addressed in the previous broadcast, if you'd like to do so. These have been recorded and they're preserved. They be found a link to a website. The website is named at the end of the broadcast, but it's also, I'll give it here as well if you'd like to jot it down. Anything that's found at that location is absolutely free of cost, free of charge. You can go there and study and not only on this subject but many others. This is found, as we said earlier, linked to what's called articles or articles of faith. You go under that area and scroll down the page and you'll see that there's obviously several resources, print, audio, and there's some video of Bible studies there, and work is in progress on trying to add to that area, to information to that area on the internet. And again, feel free to use that as you like, and if the Lord would lead you to share and point others in the direction of it, certainly feel free to do so. So as we said earlier, we do need to go to the Lord in prayer, and then after we pray, we'll take up the thought that's on the heart and that. And I was going to tell the website. The website is www.fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's Fisher, one Fisher, Fisher of Men, Baptistic. It's Baptist with the IC on the end, baptistic.com. And then again, you can find it in that area where that I described. Now at this time, let us pray. If you'd like to join with us at this time. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the great many blessings you so richly bestow upon us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. And we're thankful, Father, for your mercy, knowing that as you let us know in the Word of God that all sin comes short of the glory of God, and that if we say that we sin not, that we deceive our own selves and the truth is not in us. So forgive us our sins and help us, Father, that we would be ever found leaning upon God and following after the Son of God, who we believe is able and willing to lead and guide and strengthen, that we'd be found walking in that way that's good and pleasing unto Thee, our Father, and we believe walking therein where will be the most beneficial to those whom we come in contact with. We pray, Father, that You'd receive our thanks for Your many blessings. We know that, Father, that blessings have been extended many times, and we're thankful for them. Pray, God, that You would help us, that we'd ever be found remembering the great blessings of God upon us, especially that one in soul salvation received. It's just a young boy, as we put all of our trust in the Son of God, having heard the great message, having it called our attention, not only where we stood in Your sight, but where that great gift of God and soul salvation was found in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, for all who've not found that great and precious gift, praying that something said and done even in this work, even in this effort, would be effectual in the hearts of some who might hear and indeed see their own selves, where they truly stand in the sight of God with the just measure, from the measure of God, but also seeing the great love of Thee, our God, in Thy offered Son, that putting all their trust therein, they might find and receive soul salvation. We pray, Father, again for the sad, the lonely, those who are troubled in heart. We pray for their comfort. Pray, God, that You'd help us, that we might, by Your comfort which You extend to us, that we might be a comfort unto such. We pray, Father, for our nation, knowing, Father, that our nation is in a needy time, and knowing, God, that You have all things that we stand in need of. We pray then that You would grant in Your great, bountiful, merciful way, Ye continue Thy long-suffering towards us as a nation. Help us that we'd have leaders who would be careful to do the things You'd have done, and let us know how and who we should support and in what measure that support should come. We pray, Father, that You would take and use this work, bless it, keep it, and let it be that such that You'd have it be. Many things we know we fail to ask, but fail not to grant. For we do seek all favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus, and for His name's sake we do pray. Amen. We said earlier that we're in the sixth part of a study, and in being in this sixth part, we would like to read again what that this article has to state, and then we'll take up some thoughts relating to this last part of this article. The article reads this, of the way of salvation. We believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and by his death made a full atonement for our sins, that having risen from the dead, he's now enthroned in heaven, and united in his wonderful person the tenderest sympathies with divine perfections, he is every way qualified to be a suitable, a compassionate, and an all-sufficient Savior. We'll take up the last part, and we'll read this last part one more time to draw your attention to what we're trying to address here as we read these scriptures. And that last part says that Christ unites in his wonderful person the tenderest sympathies with divine perfections. He is every way qualified to be a suitable, a compassionate, and an all-sufficient Savior. We believe the Bible teaches this. We believe that there are a number of places where that the Scriptures let us know this, that in the Word of God, in this inspired Word of God, called the Bible, that herein that we find these things to be taught. For example, we'd like to turn over to Hebrews in chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, we'll start reading with verse 23. And here in Hebrews verse 23, speaking of Jesus, and comparing the office of priest that Jesus fills, comparing his office to those who were called priests in the work that God had set in the house of Israel, comparing the priesthood of Jesus to that priesthood that they carried out, it says, verse 23, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." In other words, these men did not continue on in their office of priest because they died. "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Now, this again doesn't mean that being a priest killed him, but just by the reason of death, as we die today, man, everybody knows they're going to die. We may not like to think about it, but it's still the truth. We're going to die. And these priests, they died. A big difference between that priesthood and the priesthood of Christ is that Christ, having died once, liveth forevermore. And as it says here, "But this man, speaking of Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for sins, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." And with the mistakes we may have made, this is reading out of Hebrews chapter 7, and we've read, or tried to read, in verse 23 down through verse 27. Now, these verses help us see, just get a little glimpse about the wonderful person of Jesus, and how that these divine perfections are found in Christ, who, as these scriptures teach us, such a high priest became us, who is what? He's holy. To be holy means to be set apart. How set apart is Christ? Well, Christ is in heaven, though we can feel him even now. And as the Word of God is declared in its simple truth, the Spirit of God moves through that truth, and even in our hearts, we can feel the work of the Spirit of God as God moves within us, letting us know that this message is not about some fantasy, but this is real. These are real subjects. This is not a story. This is the truth. This is fact. So Christ is separate, being holy, but his presence is near at hand. He is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. This one is he then who, that in his wonderful person, he combines his divine perfections so that he is in every way qualified to be a suitable, a compassionate, and an all-sufficient Savior. How sufficient is the salvation that Christ extends to us in that he ever lives to make intercession for mankind? Well, the Scripture tells us to what extent. It says this, It says, because he continueth ever, he has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore, because of this, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So, all of us who have come to God by Christ, who have made the entrance, who have not only made the think about it, not only have considered it, but have considered, believed, and acted upon it from the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So those who have come unto God, those of us who have made that approach to God and found God by Christ Jesus, and there's no other way to find God than by Christ Jesus. Christ says he is the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father, says Jesus. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So those of us who have come to God and found him, found God through Christ, we have a salvation which is a full salvation. He saves to the uttermost. He saves those to the uttermost, to the absolute uttermost, who come to God by him, because his priesthood, his offering, his work as priest is not a once-done work. It's an ongoing. He always is there making intercession. His intercession is a constant intercession. The intervention is a constant intervention. And though we might sin, and we will sin as we go through this life, we can count on the fact that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he remains the constant peace bringer between us and God. He ever lives to make this intercession for us. Thank God that in Christ we have this great Savior, because I'm not going to try to speak for anybody who will be hearing this, but I know enough about myself to know that I come far short in that great high measure of perfection, which truly would be required of us all to live right in the absolute naked presence of God. I'm glad that there is this mediator, this intercessor named Christ, who goes between God and me and brings us in union with each other. My knowledge of God does not stop with what I read in a book or what other people have told me. But it's an experience. It's an experimental knowledge, a knowledge I have from the experience of trying to follow after Christ and trying to live for God. Yes, and oftentimes I come short, and anybody who's been around me very long knows that I'm a long way from being perfect. The only thing that's perfect about me is that salvation that I received when I put all my trust in Christ Jesus. Now, that's perfect, absolute. And the way of life that God would have us to live, that's a perfect way of life. And without Christ, there's no way to even get close to it. No way to even get close to it. But thank God, we can get close to it if we'll follow after God. If we'll follow after Christ, Christ will lead us in that way. This scripture also helps us see these points. This scripture, namely, being in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. There are a number of references out of the book of Hebrews that helps us see this point about Christ, teaching us about his person and how that the tenderest sympathies are enjoined in him with divine perfections, so that he is every way qualified to be a suitable, compassionate, and an all-sufficient Savior. Several points in Hebrews. We thought we'd just consider a few of them here. So this second one comes from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. For he, this speaking of Jesus, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That means Christ. When he became incarnate, God, that is the eternal God who is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Son, from eternity, entered into time. He entered into time, and when he came into this realm of time, he didn't enjoin the divinity of his divine person with the nature of an angel. No. The divinity of the divine second person of the Godhead was enjoined with the flesh and blood of humanity, so that he is the Emmanuel, the God with us, but also the man. So this scripture says he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. that is the seed of Abraham, that is being flesh. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. See, in becoming the flesh, in enjoining the divinity with the humanity, Christ was able to be tempted. I want to just step one step to the side and read something out of the book of James, in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, this is talking about temptation. You see, what we just read in Hebrews spake of him being, he suffered being tempted, that he suffered like us being tempted. But it was necessary, to get the point here, it was necessary for the divinity of the second person of the Godhead, for the divine second person of the Godhead to enjoin himself with the flesh, that he could indeed suffer this temptation. Because James lets us know, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The divinity will not be tempted. It's beyond the capacity, it's beyond the divine nature's capacity to be tempted. It is beyond the divine to suffer temptation. He can't be tempted with this evil. In other words, he's not going to be attracted to it. It's just like it's impossible for God to lie. There are many times in the Scriptures where it says that we grieve God, and that in our grief that there is a something that's likened to temptation that accompanies that, but it's not the temptation for God to do evil. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Though we might get that clouded in our reasoning, God's not clouded on it at all. Evil is evil, and God cannot be tempted with it. Now, the Scripture gives us another sense of that when we find that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no mixture of light with darkness. He cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So Christ, that he would be the divine, perfect intercessor between God and man, and so that he could indeed make reconciliation for us as mankind, he enjoined his divine person with the flesh, that he could suffer temptation. And him suffering it, though, never yielded to it. Making him what? This all-compassionate, this truly sympathetic, this every way qualified and suitable, all-sufficient Savior for us, for mankind. He did this for mankind. He became us that he could bring us to this place to where we couldn't get on our own. What a wonderful, wonderful message from the Word of God about the nature, about what Christ did. And why did he do it? Because of us. Because he loved us and gave himself for us. So, again, Hebrews 2 verses 16 through 18 calls this to our attention. Another reference out of Hebrews is in the fourth chapter. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, the Scripture in verse 14 says this: Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if there is ever verses penned down which are to recommend Christ to us, which are to convince us, sometimes when we are introduced to people and people hold certain positions, and as they hold certain positions, sometimes when they're introduced to us, the introduction involves a kind of a, here are their credentials, here's what we know about them, and we would like for you to accept them, or because of what we're telling you about them, and because of their past and their qualities and what they've done, I'd like for you to consider them and maybe even employ them to do similar type of things for you. So what they're doing is they're giving you a recommendation for that person, and such a glowing recommendation that times convinces us, persuades us, and moves us, causes us to act on what we've been told. Now, from what we just heard about Jesus, here again, we have this glowing recommendation. What a proclamation from the eternal Word of God. God from heaven has let us have this recommendation, this testimony, not a testimony which is just made up of man, but one that the Holy Spirit accompanies as it is declared to us. How do we know that this is the case? Because the Spirit accompanies it into our hearts, and we know it for our own selves. We don't need to turn to the left or turn to the right or call somebody and say, "Do you think this is true?" We know for ourselves, because God deals with us directly, that we know that this recommendation that we're receiving about the Son of God, who, what was this again? This recommendation said to us that we have this high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was tempted just like we are, yet without sins. So, knowing that he's in this case, he feels our infirmities, he's experienced it, but he never sinned. He was tempted in every way like we'll ever face. He understands it, so if we'll come boldly, and that means that bold coming to him is without any unbelief whatsoever, pushing all unbelief aside, all doubt aside, and absolutely fully believing, knowing that this recommendation is true because of what we're hearing, or not only what we're hearing, but what we're experiencing as we hear about it. It's being affirmed to us soundly that this is the truth, so that if we would act on this recommendation without any doubt whatsoever, that there is this place called the throne of grace that Christ occupies, where we can find grace and mercy to help us in this time of need. And radio friend, there's no greater time of need than when we come to understand that we haven't even been saved, that we're not even a child of God, that we've not been born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and we've experienced that as we entered into this world. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, and you don't experience that until you see yourself in that place. And when you see yourself there because God's pointed it out to you through the Spirit, then move. Move. You're in a great time of need. But the good news is there's a throne of grace where this all-sufficient, all-compassionate, all-understanding Savior sets ready and prepared to intercede and to bless. And the good thing about it is, just as real as the understanding is that there's this great time of need, that's just how real that the need has been satisfied. When trouble is taken away and peace is found from God. So the Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom or by whom we have access into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." You know, that's a great experience, and it's one which that I believe we never will forget. Well, this has been our message. Time has swiftly passed away. Hope something's been brought out that's been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord for it, because as you realize, as you heard us say earlier, that we need God's help, and we try to turn to Him and ask for it. So if something good has been received today, be careful to thank the Lord for that. Thank you again for tuning in. Pray for us, and we'll be careful to pray for you as well. Again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.